Welcome to the Dirt Show, brought to you by Pulver's Towing. And today we're going to hear from USRA hobby stock driver Steve Dwyer. We're also going to hear from Bob Baker, executive director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum, and a little more about our title sponsor, Pulver's Towing, right after a few words from our sponsors.
Pulver Motor Service is far more than towing and recovery. Pulver has the versatility and tools to move anything with wheels. Why should you invest in a truck and trailer when for a fraction of the cost, Pulver can move your heavy equipment to the job site and back? With our years of experience and investment in equipment, Pulver Motor Service isn't limited by size, weight, or distance. See for yourself at pulvermotorservice.com. Contact us today and find out how we can help move your business forward.
Simply adding cookies barbecue sauce is sure to make meat taste better. But when you really want to hit a home run, try one of my approved recipes. Speed the Sauce Man here, and I've got a bunch of easy-to-make creations at cookiesbbq.com. Barbecue meatloaf, Grandma Elmo's broiler burgers, heck, I'll even tell you the secret to Speed's racks of ribs. It's all at cookiesbbq.com. Hey, smart cookies use Cookies barbecue sauce. Anything less is meat abuse.
Cookies is the one.
888 Discount Month is back at Napa Auto Parts now through October 31st. You'll save 20% instantly on qualifying purchases when you show your AAA Discount Rewards card. Napa has other ways to help you save too, like a $10 virtual Visa gift card when you purchase a 5-quart jug of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil for only $27.99. Plenty more special offers all month long at Napa. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Coles Electric in Owatonna is there whether it's a small or large project with state-of-the-art technology ensuring a professional job will be done every time. Coles Electric services include new construction, design and build, lighting design and installation, remodel work, high voltage, and PLCs. Coles other services include generator sales, security systems, infrared cameras, directional boring systems, underground trenching, plowing, cable location, vacuum excavation, pole setting, boom truck, and 24-hour on-call emergency service. That's Coles Electric in Owatonna, licensed, bonded, insured, and offering free estimates.
We've all heard the old saying, going the extra mile. When it comes to repairing your vehicle, that old saying rings true at Midwest Collision in Faribault. You may have to drive that extra mile, but Bob and his staff at Midwest Collision will reward you with quick and educational estimates. Plus, they'll go the extra mile to make sure you are completely satisfied with your repair. Call Midwest Collision today at 332-2434. They're miles ahead of the competition.
Let me tell you, friends, about our store. It's a great place we call Miner's Outdoor.
Miner's Outdoor, your Total Source Husqvarna dealer in Blooming Prairie, has everything your yard needs. From chainsaws, leaf blowers, and weed trimmers to zero-turn mowers and everything in between. That's what being your Husqvarna Total Source dealer is all about. Stop in today to see the best selection in quality Husqvarna outdoor power equipment. That's Miner's Outdoor, Highway 218, Blooming Prairie.
Miner's Outdoor, Major Tough.
If you're in need of a worry-free power lift door, then you'll want to stop and talk with Rod French. Make a statement with a Powerlift architectural door on your home or cabin. Powerlift doors can be retrofitted to fit an existing door opening or designed into your next commercial, agricultural, livestock, or aircraft hangar build. Stylish, functional, and built to last. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing are made locally in Dodge Center, Minnesota by their experienced craftsmen. Contact Kelly or Rod. Powerlift doors by French's Manufacturing. 374-9306.
Hey, this is Dave from Severson Oil, VP Racing Fuels, and you're listening to the Driver Segment on The Dirt Show.
Welcome back to the Driver Segment here on The Dirt Show, and it is my pleasure today to be joined by USRA hobby stock driver, Steve Dwyer. And Steve, growing up, how did you become interested in racing and cars in general?
My dad has been a mechanic his whole life and been around cars my whole life since I've been a little kid, so that's kind of where the car thing came into it, and then at a pretty young age, a couple of my dad's buddies raced at the Speedway up in West Salem, so we'd go out and visit them, and I sat in their car a couple of times outside the gate. My dad's like, well, we don't need to come here anymore because he's going to want a car, you know. So that's kind of how it started, you know.
That's a pretty powerful influence.
Yeah, yes it is, yep.
You work on other people's cars for a living.
Yep, every day, yep, Monday through Friday.
And where is it that you work?
I work at Shower Jacobson Lacrosse.
You did some Thunderstock racing on pavement at West Salem. How did that opportunity come about, and how did you do? Was it all stemmed from sitting in the car outside the gate?
A little bit. A friend of mine in high school, he started racing at a pretty young age. We were just starting high school. He started getting into it pretty hot and heavy, and he was racing, and I kind of started racing before we had a driver's license. So we kind of started a little bit there, and he was really into it right from the get-go and very competitive. And he did that for a couple of years, and then he went to sportsman's, went to late model, and that in between the sportsman and late model transaction of moving up classes, I'm like, hey, I don't mind helping a guy out, and I'm working on his car quite a bit. So I'm like, I might as well get my own. I mean, I'm working on his car three nights a week, and I didn't mind. It was fun. We're good buddies, and I started doing it myself and started racing little forks on the cars, and it went on from there.
Essentially, what was a Thunderstock when you started?
They ran a quarter-mile track at West Salem on the pavement. They ran, like, the most common cars, like a 75 Monte Carlo. It was pretty basic, you know, but guys were real competitive. At that time, they'd have a good feature night. They'd have a B main, so they'd have, you know, 35, 40 cars there, you know. Pretty much a simple automatic car, 350 in them. Can't do a lot to them. You know, you kind of change some springs and shocks and some stagger, and that's about all you can do to them, you know.
There is a 2006 video of you running your Hornet at lacrosse. How hard those cars are driving into the corners. Some are even pulling the inside left rear off the ground.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah, if you get them to stick good, they'll pull the left rear off the ground, that's for sure. Was that race maybe in the Oktoberfest races or something like that, or...
Yeah.
We always ran. I didn't mind. The first couple of years I raced on the pavement up at Toma and a little bit at West Salem and a couple other pavement in the Dells. But once I started racing on the dirt, didn't really go back as much, you know what I mean? But we had some good runs for Oktoberfest. We won a few of them out there, that's for sure.
Running at the Dells on pavement required a windshield. How did that work running the other three nights of the week on dirt?
We just ran a Lexon windshield and we'd pull it out. We'd run on the pavement. Initially, we run on Wednesday at the Dells during the week, and then Friday, we're going to West Union down in Fayette County, and then Saturday at Decorah and Sunday at Cresco. So we ran a few nights with the windshield in there, and it was just too tough. You know, we usually typically run first on dirt tracks, you know, run first in small white cars, and the windshield get pretty dirty. So then eventually, I made some quick fasteners, and I'd pull the windshield out to race on dirt. So I'd change the setup from pavement to dirt and run three nights, and then Monday, Tuesday, get back and change it back for Wednesday, and the 1 year we raced four nights a week, and we raced a lot and won a lot, and we had a lot of fun. So a lot of good help from family and friends, a couple good friends, and they'd go along with every night, and it was a blast, you know.
Big speeds bring big wrecks. The old Fountain City Trioval was a place you could get in trouble in a hurry. You rolled your Hornet about six times and had to be extracted from the car.
Yeah, that was a pretty rough night. I think it was the Great Pumpkin Race, and the first night, and it was actually a friend's car. His dad and I were very good friends, and he got himself a little bit of trouble. I didn't really want to race the race, and he's like, let's just run, and let's run my car, and my kid will be happy if you won with it. So we raced the first night, and I think we won the heat and the feature, and the second night, we had some issues with the car, and had little engine problems, and got into another car, and broke an axle in the heat race, so we had to run a B main, and that was the second night, and we started dead last and made the A main and started last. And one of my good friends, Ryan Hopple, he was up in front and I was trying to catch him. And if people have never been that track, you know, when it used to be Trioval, you come in turn one, there's one corner, the back stretch, you dime in that, and you could get so much speed coming through turn three that a Hornet or a four-cylinder guy could tell you this, that you just have so much momentum and speed you had to try to make it through the corner. And that night, I had like three laps to go and I was catching them and trying to make a clean sweep on two features in a row, and the track was really black because other cars already ran, and I caught the bottom of the racetrack, and it was kind of a ramp style. They don't do it anymore, but on the bottom of the inside of the track, and I caught it, and the left front of the car came over, and we rolled sideways and end over end to end, and it was not a good night, and they had to cut the whole top of the car off with jaws of life and the roll cage and Sawzall, and we didn't really get hurt, but we were pretty jarred pretty bad, and they had to backboard me out. Wasn't a good night, but it can happen, you know, and unfortunately, you know, people don't realize that I don't care what class you're racing in, you're on the edge of spinning out, or, you know, if you're going fast you possibly can, you're on the edge of that tire that it can make or break it, you know, and that's what we look for, I guess, you know.
I'm sure you will never forget some of the temperatures at some of those pumpkin races. Talk about cold. Overheating was definitely not a problem on those nights.
No. Yeah, we had some cold ones before. We got a lot of socks and layers of long underwear and T-shirts. And But me personally, a lot of my buddies that I race with think I'm crazy, but I can race in the cold. It's okay, you know, whatever. I'm a big outdoorsman, so I fish and hunt a lot. I'm out in the cold all the time. I don't mind it. But me personally, when I'm racing, I like it hotter the better. The middle of summer, June, July, when it's 90 at 9 o'clock at night and humid, I can have the sweat just pouring down my face and my forehead. I just get in the groove and get focused. That's honestly my time to shine. It doesn't bug me a bit, and all the rest of my buddies think I'm crazy, but it don't bug me at all. I can be hotter than hot in that car. I can just stay focused. It's better than the early and late season for me, but I'm a little different than everybody else.
You also have no fear to travel and try new tracks. You rented a motorhome and hit the road with your Hornet and just had a ball.
Yes, we did. Yeah, that was quite a few years ago now, but yeah, we hit where'd we go to? We went by Beaver Dam and Luxembourg and Jim Fall. We had four tracks in four nights and never been to them. Don't have a clue, you know, we know the track size, but not everybody measures the track the same way, you know, and some guys measure in the middle tracks or from the bottom. We won three of the four nights when we went out there. It was a good time. Seemed like I can adapt this up pretty quickly. I can either seem like it's working or not working. You know right away, and I'm not the only one, but you just got to know that right away when you first get out there. And we struggled a couple nights. We went there, and I think it was Luxembourg or Beaver Dam, but you've never seen clay so red. And it was slimy and greasy, but usually when those tracks are hot laps and heat race are slimy and you can hardly stay on the racetrack, the feature is going to be hammered down, tacky heavy, you know, 9 times out of 10. But we had a good time. We went to the motorhome and came home Sunday night, and we had a pretty cool story. Went to Jim Falls, and we're like, hey, let's just stop here on the way home. We're three and a half hours away from home. Let's just stop here and run. And didn't really know exactly the rules, but we thought we'd be okay. And so we run the heat race, one, and you have to go across scale, make weight. And the guy's like, you're white. I'm like, oh, I didn't know you guys had a weight rule. We just kind of stopped here on the way home, thought, hey, we plan on racing those other three tracks. Let's stop here at Jim Falls. And so the tech guy is actually the owner, and he's like, come back around and weigh again. Maybe the scale's off. We'll check it. I was 160 pounds light. I'm like, well, I guess that doesn't work out real well. He's like, well, I'm going to have to DQ you. But he's like, I'm the track owner. As soon as all the heat race is done, meet me back at the tech shed or the scale house, and I'll run down to my house. I live a half mile down the road with the four-wheeler, and I'll grab you some lead. So we got the car all set up there. Jack stands got ready. We ran first, and long story short, it was a fun one. And the track owner is a super cool guy. I give him props all day long. And he ran down, gave us 180 pounds of lead. We bolted the car, started 23rd, 24th, and drove the back to the front and won the feature. And it couldn't have happened any better, you know. And pretty cool, the guy, he didn't have to go get me lead. I just told him, I said, we're from La Crosse. We're just out traveling around and tried to stop by here, and we didn't know he had a weight rule, you know. And pretty amazing guy. He went and got me some lead and started in last and drove the front and won. So that was a good weekend, that's for sure.
Talk about the time you were racing your Honda CRX and you showed up at a track that didn't allow imports.
Oh, yeah. That didn't go over real well. They were barking about not having no imports, and I honestly can't remember the track we were at when we did that. I'm drawing a blank with track. I remember it happening, but they were just having a fit about not having imports running, and it's like, well, they should probably state that in their rules, you know what I mean? But the guy actually let us run. We kind of ironed it all out, and he let us run, and I just told him, you know, hey, we didn't know we couldn't run imports here. But that's the way it goes, you know. You just don't know when you show up places, and you should probably look a little further into it. But when you got a week off or something, you just try to go somewhere else when all you want to do is race, you know what I mean?
And that spurred the idea for a pretty cool photo.
Yeah. That's when we went up to Chateau, that's what I was thinking. I couldn't think of the name. I'm drawing a blank. But, yeah, we had a bunch of buddies from Minnesota, Wisconsin, to Iowa, and they weren't letting no imports run, and we were just like, just let us run. We'll put our own show on if that's what the case got to be. And they separate us from Hornets to Flyers or how they declare that now. But we had all Honda Civics and all CRXs. And I think we had 9 or 10 of us, and we just had a blast. I had two of my own cars there, drove one. My buddy Ryan Hopple had two cars. Scott Krohn, I think, had two cars. It was a blast, yeah. So my brother, he's the photo guy, and he does all my race car pictures and other people's sponsored pictures, and he kind of made that picture we had that I gave to you. And that was a blast.
Your final season in the Hornet division, you won 15 out of 18 features in a single season at the Upper Iowa Speedway in Decorah. I'm sure the other drivers were hoping you were going to have a flat tire on your hauler on the way.
Yeah, I'm sure they were. Yeah, that year we had just a phenomenal season. I think the other two nights we finished second or third or whatever it was. I'm not exactly sure on that, but it was no worse than third. We just were on fire. We had the cars figured out. me and a couple buddies over from Dakota Valley put the car together, just absolute dynamite. We couldn't do anything wrong, and it was fun. So we had actually had a couple cars we ran. The last few nights I ran my backup car just to kind of mimic the other car. I had one CRX, one Civic hatchback. But, yeah, that was a phenomenal year. We won a lot of races that year. You know, I said we won, I think, 15 out of the 18, and that was a great year. I think a couple years before that at Crapsco, I think we won about the same thing. We had a good year, good couple of years there. We just went everywhere and had a lot of fun. You got to have fun, too. That's the main part of it, you know what I mean?
We talk about a race driver's dedication to get to the races. You get off work at 5 p.m. on Friday night and had to be in West Union by 7. Now, according to Google, that is a 3-hour, 1-minute trip. Explain how that mathematical equation works.
Well... we put the hammer down on the back roads. I'm not going to lie. We were hauling the mail, and it was always a stretch because you had the draw cutoff was at 7. I think the races were at 7:15. We could pull it in 1:45. Me and my brother knew that certain back Iowa roads, we could put the hammer down 75-80 to get there. And then I got to be pretty good friends with a couple of gals that worked at the pit gate, and they were always good to me, and they'd always call me by 7:45. Steve, you going to make it? You coming tonight? And I'm like, yeah, we're going to be there. We're going to be there. We'll draw for you. Just take your time. We'll see you in a little bit. And they always took good care of me. That was really nice of them. And every other week, I'd bring them a 12-pack of beer or pop or something. They don't have to do that, but they really appreciate the guy that drives 2.5 hours to get to a racetrack after work on Friday night. And they made it right with you, that's for sure. So we had a good time. I think that's our first and second year race hobbies. We raced every Friday and Saturday night. But, yeah, that's pretty nice. Those people down there, too, they got a nice facility down there in West Union, the Fairgrounds track, that's for sure.
You are currently in your eighth season in the hobby stock division. When did you make the decision to switch divisions, and why?
I do recall it. I think it was some special race they had just for down Decorah one night, and I was with a couple different guys that ran hobby stocks, and we were doing very well, and I want to say dominating, but we did very well the last couple of years at Decorah and Crasco and West Union, and I just told my brother, I said, I want to race hobbies next year, you know, and I had a couple of guys kind of, you know, that I raced against that were decent guys, you know, ran good, and one guy just said to me, he's like, do you ever get sick of winning? And I don't really know how to take that. I mean, like, is he kind of being sarcastic, or am I like, I kind of said to him, I said, well, do you ever get sick of losing? And I kind of got it, you know. I was like, you win majority of the time or three-quarters of the races, you win. I just told my brother, I said, we're getting a hobby stock next year. So I bought a car from another guy from Scott Spilde, and his old car, he said he's going to quit. And he's just like me. Me and him raced Hornet cars together back in the day and said he might get out of it. And 2 weeks later, he got another new car, you know. So I bought his old hobby stock and raced that for 2 years, and then bought another one from Dan Jones that was his old stock car. And we were sitting in Decorah one night in the stands. I told my brother, I said, I want to race hobbies. An average night at Decorah is probably, when they're doing well there, there's 18 to 25 cars in the hobby stocks, somewhere, you know, about 20-ish. And I would say 10 of them win the feature any given night. Depends where they start, you know. So I just told my brother, that's what we got to do. We're either going to be done or move up. So we decided to move up, and we've been there ever since.
How much money is spent on a competitive Hornet? Was there a huge difference between the two divisions?
Oh, for sure. The Hornet car didn't have much, you know, tire prep, and it was somewhat low maintenance. But, you know, if you're racing 2, 3, 4 nights a week, you better stay on top of it because stuff can break and get cracked and welds go bad and ball joints are wore out, you know. But the difference in money, yeah, it's a lot more, but it's still enjoyable. It's still a lot of work, but if you're not working on it, you're not doing well. You just can't leave the car in a trailer and race next week and expect to be competitive. It ain't going to happen. I don't care if you go to Fountain City or go to West Union or go to Webster City. You can go anywhere. And the guys that are competitive, they're working on their cars 2 or 3 nights a week, even just prep work and double-checking stuff. It's crucial, very crucial for sure. But it is a little more money to race a hobby than a Hornet, that's for sure. It's probably double. But gas and tires, and you burn up more stuff. But it's definitely a blast, that's for sure.
In 2020, you ran Friday nights at Mississippi Thunder Speedway and Saturday nights at Upper Iowa Speedway in Decorah, two totally different tracks.
Oh, for sure. Mississippi Thunder Speedway, a little bit longer straightaways, higher banks for sure, a little more, not say tighter corners, but longer corners, you know, and Decorah is a little more flat. Years ago, they have a little more high banking there, and the track was down to the bottom of the cushion a little further. Now it's a little more flat. Decorah is kind of a D-shaped. Mississippi Thunder Speedway is oval-shaped. they're both different, but we run basically the kind of the same setup for the most part. You just kind of adapt to the track. That's the biggest key, you know.
You have also raced in Cresco, Iowa. Love that place. The stands, the atmosphere. How do you feel about the track from a driver's point of view?
You know, the last couple times I ran on it, it's been a little bit rougher because they haven't been consistently running. Years ago, they ran every Sunday night. You know, that's a big thing, too. You know, if you're not running every week and run, like, every third week or, you know, for Ironman. Back in the Hornet days, that track was a hammer down. It was, I mean, just beautiful. Some nights it was a little greasy, but, I mean, usually it wasn't too rough. Years past, it's been kind of rough. So I haven't been there in a couple years just because I got so much other stuff going on Sundays, you know. So fish a lot of bass tournaments, too. I fish every Monday night, so I'm kind of doing that. So Sunday and Monday, it's like I'm running out of time, you know, after you race every Friday and Saturday. And then I kind of backed off on the Sunday thing, which they're not even running there anymore. But it used to be sitting in the stands or racing on it. It was a good track. Except for the last couple of years, it's been kind of rough. But there you go. If you don't work on it and don't race on every weekly, it's never going to be smooth. You know what I mean?
With age comes experience. You've seen a lot of things not to do in your 42 years. One of the things you've learned is to watch not just the car ahead of you, but think multiple moves down the track.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I mean, guys that race on the next guy's back bumper, I mean, when stuff's going to happen, is the guys in front of you, 9 times out of 10, that'd be no problem. So the guys get turned and get all tangled up 3-4 car lengths ahead of you, or you're coming in the corner and the guys are in the center or coming out. You got to be really watching ahead of yourself, because that's where the problems lay, you know. You can usually get around a guy that gets looped or tangled up right side by side with you or along in front of you, but 3, 4, 5 car lengths, I'm watching in front of me, but I'm watching also a long ways in front of me, too, just to stay out of those problems. And it definitely makes a big difference when a guy's racing. And a lot of guys that are not so inexperienced, but you got to pick up on that pretty quickly. Otherwise, you can get wrecked up pretty easily, you know.
Sometimes, no matter how hard you try to get out of the way or avoid an accident, things happen. You got hit so hard at Decorah, it busted your Ford 9-inch rear end.
Yeah, that was not a good. We wrecked the week before, and in the feature, a guy got turned up in front of me, and one guy got another guy in, like, 2 car lengths in front of me, and the guy got turned and kind of got dorsaled to the guy in front of him, and he turned, and I thought he was going to stop, and we clanked head-on, and that's never a good thing. So the car got pretty wrecked that week, and that was in the feature. And I think we didn't get a good draw that night. I think we started like 12th, and we're up in like the third, fourth spot, and that happened, which, you know, you got to have patience, too. And some guys try to win the first 2 laps, and it don't work either. So we came back the following week and put the whole front of the car back on, knocked the whole front of it off, you know, the whole radiator and rear support and the bumper and fan blades and belts and water pump, and so it kind of sucked. And the following week, come back and run 2 laps of the heat race, and the guy in the front row dumps it, which can happen. So I run down the bottom of the racetrack and stay on the bottom of the cushion, pretty much come to not a stop, but I'm barely moving. The guy just hit me right in the left rear, and he obviously was not paying any close attention. He was still racing, and I don't know how, and it was just horrible. I mean, we got hit so hard, we broke the Ford 9-inch we run, the full floater. We broke the axle tube right off the center section, got hit so hard, and got it home the next day, tore it apart, and the thing was so bent, we couldn't even pull the axle out of the tube. It was so bent in the rear end, and we wrecked the whole rear end of that car. That thing was junk, so it doesn't need to happen, but anytime you get a couple guys that are not very experienced or got very much time behind the wheel, there again, don't look right there. You got to look a long ways ahead of you, and I planned it out and got out of the way and still got nailed, so... Some days you can't win. 3 weeks there in a row, we got the car pretty tore up, and it was just getting to be never-ending, you know. The boys at Performance Bodies, I think I call them every 3 weeks solid. More parts, huh? I said, yep, need another radiator. Okay, we'll send it out. But what do you do? That's part of the game you play. So been so many times, I've been very thankful, and we made the right decision that you drive by somebody, and they get all turned, and somebody gets jacked out of shape, and you drive by and go, whew, I missed that one. That's great, you know. And this year, we got collected up in 3 of them, and then that was probably the worst year of our wrecking stuff by far. You know, you get a tire cut or a bent rim or knock a tire running out of shape, but not that stuff. You know, you knock the whole front of the car up twice and the rear end of it once. It doesn't need to happen, but it can happen. So that's the games we play, so we can't always avoid them. We try to.
What drew my attention to you is the way you drive. You are smooth, fearless, and carry more momentum through the turns than just about anyone else. That takes some real skill.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that. Yeah, we're a little different setup than most guys do. It's just kind of me and my brother Tony and my buddy Kyle does my vinyl work. And I know what I want to run, how I want to run it. And we race a little different than everybody else. Not different, but we have a little different, not total setup, but we're all generally the same setup, most guys, but we don't share information with nobody. And I'm not trying to be whatever. If somebody asked me, I wouldn't steer them in the wrong direction by any means, but we got our own kind of setup we got going on. So it seems to work. And it took, you know, the first year racing hobbies, it was tough. I was bending bumpers and bending this and bending that. Going from a front-wheel drive car to a rear-wheel drive car, it was drastic change. And second year, we won a couple races, won a couple heat races, won a feature, and then we got another, yeah, different car from Dan Jones, and we've been doing real well with that. We got to kind of figure it out. And it used to be a USRA stock car. We made it back into a hobby. Took a lot of figuring out why we're doing this, and this is not working. And now we got to kind of, will we like it? And between Kyle and my brother Tony, we got it pretty well dialed in where we want it, and we know where we got to be. So, yeah, I appreciate the compliments on the driving. We try to stay smooth and fast and just get it done, you know.
On a high bank track like Mississippi Thunder Speedway during the heat races, when there's still a lot of moisture in the track surface, you can run flat out. How does that feel to turn a lap like that on that track?
It's fun. A good night in a heat race up there, we can just about keep it down to the floor the whole time. I mean, once if you do let off, it's very little. It's a riot. You know, when that track's heavy and you can just lay it on top of the upper part of the cushion or towards the top and just hammer it down, it probably looks fun in the stands. It's fun behind the wheel. You know, some nights it's rubber slick and dry and rough. You really got to be soft in that gas pedal. It's just one of those things. You got to figure it out. But the heat races are definitely fun up there when it's tacky and heavy. They've been doing a really nice job about keeping that track good. And, you know, there's a few nights it gets a little rough and it can happen. And it's rough for me and it's rough for everybody else. And it does suck. But I think Bob Tim, when he is there and he's working on it, he does a great job. I'm giving him thumbs up all day, you know. And you got a lot of cars running up there, four or five classes every night and good car counts. And it's tough to keep on top of that track, especially when the weather changes. But it is fun when that track is tacky and heavy and you just layer to it. It's definitely a blast, that's for sure.
I've heard that comment from many drivers over the years. We all get the same track to race on, whether it's rough, whether it's wet, whether it's dry, slick.
Yeah, you got to pick your battle and hope you put the right setup in the car. That's the name of the game. Back to pavement racing, usually the pavement every Friday night or Saturday night, it's hot and muggy out. It's pretty much the same, generally speaking, you know. But the dirt, that track, you can run three laps on the top and three laps on the bottom, the next three on the bottom, and that thing could be dynamite in the middle, and you never know because you're not there. You have to try to just feel it out. And me, I watch other good guys are racing and see how they're doing with it, and I just kind of pick my own poison and just deal with it. But you got to figure it out. And sometimes it changes throughout the night, and people in the stands, some probably understand and get it. People are into racing, they get it, but some people have no idea. Like, that track can change from the bottom to the top to the middle to a lane off the bottom. And you just got to find that right piece of tacky dirt or dry dirt or whatever you want to run on. You got to find it and make it work. But he does do a very nice job up there, that's for sure. I'll give him props on that.
The hobby stock division continues to grow in popularity. The lowest car counts this season were around 19 to 20 cars, with about 35 showing up for the specials. It's a stacked field in every single heat and every feature.
Yes, it is. They've been getting the car count. And years ago, I raced when you had to race against, well, sort of street stocks against the hobby stocks. And they kind of let us run, and we had to run street tires. Now he's getting the car count. He's got to be very, very happy with the car count. And, you know, some nights we run the best we can, and some nights it seems like you run two laps. And I know Tyrone's getting frustrated and they're cutting laps, but it can happen. You know, get guys inexperienced in the middle of the pack and they make bad decisions, which we all, like I said, we're all on the edge of that tire trying to go as fast as we can. But a lot of times some of the stuff does not need to happen. And they do a pretty good job of pointing that out and then getting on the guys on the receiver and, hey, we got to tone it down. Let's go clean and green. We got another good car count. And I think we put a good show on for what these cars are and what they're doing. We are hauling the mail, to say the least. I mean, there's a lot of good guys at Fulton City that run every week. I guess I can include myself as well, but there's 8-10 guys that can win. And if you don't make the draw and you're 12th to 15th and they start in the front row and no cautions, it's a chore to run somebody down and catch them and beat them. I mean, you just can't do it. But we've been getting the car count, and I think he appreciates that. He bumps our pay a little bit here and there, and hopefully next year he can squeeze a little more. The fans don't bring the race cars. The race car bring the fans. That's the way it always is. And they want to see good racing. They're getting it every night. I think our third night we had four clashes, and we had 193 cars, if I'm not mistaken. which is just amazing. And they ran out of food and beer and stuff. I mean, that's good for everybody. And everybody thought with the economy, with the COVID thing, it's just going haywire. I think the racing's just been better yet. You know what I mean?
What is your personal goal in the hobby stock division?
I just go to have a good night and try to keep her in one piece and win some races. Guys in the past, I know Triton Krause's dad last year, you know, he won the points and dunk it and ran good and consistent. And a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, I purposely missed the first night. So I don't even want to think about running for points because I've been track champion, not at Mississippi Thunder Speedway in the hobby stock, but other tracks and racing Hornets. It's fun. In this way, I skip a night sometime through the year, so keep myself out of the points. And I know last year, I think we won a few races. Triton Krause's dad comes to me and says, you know what? If you ran every night, you'd be track champion every year. I appreciate that, but I don't really go there for that. You know what I mean? I just go to have a good night, race hard, try to win some races, and call it a year. That's my motto on that. I'm not really into racing for track points. I know the first part of the year, the first 10 or 12 nights, the worst we finished was third in the first like 10 or 12 nights between Mississippi Thunder Speedway and Upper Iowa Speedway. We were on fire, you know, and then stuff starts happening, you know, but it didn't matter to me because we were leading track points up both of them and doing pretty good in national points, which it doesn't really mean anything to me. I go there to have a good night and race hard and have a good night, so.
Who helps you out on the car in the shop and also with sponsorship?
My brother Tony Dwyer is a lot of good help. Kyle Solberg, which is my vinyl guy, he helps me quite a bit when he can. He's so busy. He's got a full-time job, and he has Solberg Design Concepts, does all my graphics for the last years, and he does a great job. He does a lot of other guys' cars. And the neighbor kid, Cole Alberts, he helps me a lot. My nephew, Lincoln Dwyer, he helps me quite a bit. He's only five, but he wants to run the impact and take lug nuts off and take the wheels off, and he tries to help grind tires. So I got a lot of good help. Like I said, we work on a couple nights a week, and as far as my sponsors go, I got Flowrite, AJ Fodor, which is my brother, Prairie Motorsports, Z-Man Motorsports, LX Fabricating, Windsor Palace Saloon, Shower Jacobson, Winneshiek Vacation Rental, Spence Aero Taxidermy, La Crescent Tile, Solberg Designs, which is my vinyl buddy, Kyle, Gex Pro, we got Webkey Fur, we got Rods Ride-On, we got Bluff Country Garage Door Service, Dynamic Concrete, Mike's Heating and Air Conditioning, Glass on Wheels, and Romy's Repair. So we got quite a few guys. It helps having sponsors. A lot of them are into it. They give me a little money to get me through the year and get me some tires and parts, and that definitely helps out a ton. If you have no sponsors, we still pay a lot of money out of our own pocket, but you got to have good help, and good sponsors goes a long ways, and we've been racing for 20 years, so it's a blast. We're having fun.
Steve, thank you so much for joining us here on the Dirt Show, and I'm looking forward to seeing you at the Punkin' Race October 17th at Mississippi Thunder Speedway. I know you'll be fast, and thanks for being with us.
I appreciate the time on the radio, and we'll see you there.
Does the thought of raking your leaves and hauling them away frighten you? If so, call Wolf and Sons at 455-3524, and they'll take the fright out of your fall.
Why would you use anything but the latest technology and packing products when it comes to shipping your business products? Foamcraft Packaging in Owatonna provides a complete line of packaging materials, including foam products, pallets, crates, corrugated boxes, and much, much more. See all our different packaging options at foamcraftpackaging.com or call 455-2893. That's 455-2893.
Hey everyone, this is Chad Weirs, Weirs Machine and Racing Products. Today we're going to talk about our engine and rear end lift handles. These are a real nice piece we've been making for quite a few years. One end has a 3/8 coarse thread stud, and the other one is drilled and tapped 5/8 coarse thread. So you can thread four of these into your engine, and you and three of your homeboys can carry an engine around, or you put two on each side of the rear end, and then you and another guy can carry a rear end around very easily. Real nice trick tool, available at weirsmachine.com. Check us out online at weirsmachine.com. Thank you.
VP Racing Fuels is a world leader in performance fuel technology. That includes VP Small Engine Fuel, the perfect fuel for your two- and four-cycle gas-powered tools, including chainsaws, generators, trimmers, blowers, and more. VP Small Engine Fuel is blended with no ethanol, ensuring easier starts, worry-free long-term storage with fewer repairs. And the two-cycle blend is pre-mixed with oil, so there's no measuring, no mixing, no mess. Just pour it in and start it up. Learn more about VP Small small engine fuel at bp-sef.com.
Aero Race Wheels was established on the conviction that its dedicated staff could provide higher quality wheels designed specifically to endure the tough requirements and conditions of the racing industry. Most importantly, the wheels need to be manufactured and sold, maintaining an affordable price structure. Aero Racing Wheels has become the largest premier steel wheel supplier, and their product line speaks for itself. Upgrade your racing game today at AeroRaceWheels.com.
You already know, Rhino Ag builds the most robust tractor accessories in the agriculture industry. Ever wondered what a Rhino would cost? Go to RhinoAg.com and click on the Build Your Rhino tab. Select the product and spec it out with any option we offer. As always, contact your local dealer for any finance specials or seasonal offers at RhinoAg.com.
Welcome back to the sponsor segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Bob Baker, Executive Director of the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. And Bob, it's been a very unusual year for racing down at Knoxville Raceway, but even with everything going on, you've had some great racing and I'm sure some great highlights to the season.
We have, Clint. Thank you for having us on the show again today. It has been kind of a crazy season with the COVID pandemic going on here across the country and at Knoxville and at the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. As most people know, our museum was closed for a couple of months back in April and May from about March 20th to May 22nd. We had to shut our doors. We were still able to work and come in and get things accomplished, but we weren't allowed to have the public in. And likewise, the racetrack didn't have their first race of the season until June the 6th. So normally Knoxville Raceway opens the middle of April. So that knocked out a bunch of races at the beginning of the season. And likewise, you know, after the one and only race, the middle of August, that took the place of this year's Nationals, there were no races. There was no Knoxville 8 Model Nationals and no sprint car races to end the season. So it was, I guess, what we would call an abbreviated season. We did get a lot of weekly sprint car races in, which I think we ended up with maybe one more race than we had last year, just because we had so many rainouts last year. But still, you know, the beginning of the season and the end of the season was cut short. And we're hoping for a much better, a full season in 2021.
And Bob, along with that, not being able to open for a couple of months there, and also the reduced foot traffic because of the COVID-19 pandemic, if you are looking to donate before the end of the season, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum is a great option.
It sure is, Clayne, and you know, a lot of people think of donations towards the end of the year, and we are a 501c3 nonprofit foundation. So any donations that people, race fans, or anyone makes to us are totally tax deductible to the fullest extent of the law. So people do make donations graciously, and that helps us keep the museum open year-round for race fans to come in and learn more about sprint car racing. We're here in Knoxville, right next to the racetrack in Turn 2 on Highway 14, and any donations at any time are greatly appreciated, but this year the donations will really help.
We also want to bring up the fact that you have this sprint car raffle coming up, and there are still tickets available.
This will be the 13th car we've given away, and I'm glad you brought that up because we really need to give a shout-out to all of our friends over at Speedway Motors in Lincoln, Nebraska, and EMI Chassis Company for putting this beautiful purple and yellow number 4 race car together for us. We do a raffle car every other year that we give away, and Speedway Motors just put this together and made videos of every step of the construction process that you can see on site at their website or our website. So not only are we giving away another race car to help promote the future of the sport this year, but also we're doing some instructional work behind the scenes to show people the variety of ways to assemble the parts that they purchase from Speedway Motors and other suppliers in the sprint car industry. There's lots of ways that you can put a sprint car together. And when you watch the video, if you're in that business, it's very helpful because they show you the options, how to install a seat or where to put mounts for different parts on the race cars. It's very educational. So even if you're not in the business of building and constructing a sprint car or putting one together in your garage, it's pretty interesting to watch the different methods keep the driver safe and ensure the maximum performance of the race car. So hats off to all the manufacturers, the builders, and suppliers in the sprint car industry for supplying every piece and part and all the labor for a raffle sprint car. This car we're going to give away on December 18th is the 13th sprint car we've given away. If you go to our website at sprintcarraffle.net, not only can you make a donation to get some tickets, but you can also see all the other 12 cars that we've had over the years, the last 26 years that we've given away. So it's a great salute to all the builders and manufacturers in the sprint car industry that they've stood behind us for over a quarter of a century to supply all the parts and labor to build these cars, there'd be no way that we could hold this auction and give away a race car without their support. So thank you to Speedway Motors, EMI Chassis Company, and all the manufacturers. You know, the Winters rear ends, the Weld wheels, everybody and every piece and part on that race car deserves a shout out. Thank you to all those people. And if you're listening at home and you'd like to get one of those tickets to try to win the car, just go to SprintCarRaffle.com online and you can purchase the tickets from the comfort of your home and make a donation to the Hall of Fame. And with a little luck, win a brand new 410 Sprint car.
Literally online shopping for the holidays is going to be starting already this upcoming week to make sure that you get your gift shipped in time for the holidays. It's going to be a big issue and no Black Friday. So SprintCarStuff.com is a great place to go.
Clayton, you've never been more correct with what you just said. We didn't know it till last week, but all the internet sources are telling us the same thing you said, that Christmas shopping, believe it or not, and I find this hard to believe, is going to start online on October 13th and 14th is when all the retailers are rolling out their Christmas specials. So it used to be Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving, has now moved up to next week, the middle of October, which is absolutely crazy, but we've been stocking our shelves here in the museum store. SprintCarStuff.com is the place to go for any sprint car fan on your Christmas list. It's a relative or friend. Find gifts, books, prints, jewelry, die-cast cars, t-shirts, hats, jackets, hoodies, sweatshirts. Believe it or not, out of all the things we sell in our museum store, we sell more books than we sell of anything else. Books are our most popular item. You might look through the list of books at SprintCarStuff.com and find a book or a new book or an old book you've always wanted to get for that race car fan, sprint car fan on your list, and check it out. Call anytime at 800-874-4488. Anybody here would be glad to help you, you know, with your order and get it in plenty of time before it gets crazy, you know, in November and December. But I guess it's going to be a huge online season this year. I just can't believe it's starting so early.
I'm definitely going to plan a trip down to the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum. What a great destination during the off season.
A lot of people do that in the wintertime. It's not very crowded, so you have a lot of space in the museum and time to read about all the displays. Our salute to champion Greg Hodnett. We're going to leave up through next season, through next year's Knoxville Nationals. We just felt like a lot of race fans from Pennsylvania didn't get a chance to come to Knoxville this year. We weren't able to hold the Nationals, and a lot of people didn't come for that reason. So that's all inside the museum. We've got over 30 race cars on display. Of course, our movie theater on the second floor, the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame inductees all up on the second floor, and then a great viewing area where you can see the racetrack, the Brian Clausen Suite Tower, give them a bird's eye view from the observation deck there if they've got a few extra minutes when they come. And the museum store is open, and there's always somebody here. A lot of people don't know it, Clayton, but we're open 7 days a week year-round, so we're here all through the winter, 7 days a week, even Saturdays and Sundays. On Saturdays, we're here from 10 in the morning till 5, and in the winter, we're here from noon until 5 on Sundays. So if you're looking for something to do for an afternoon trip on a Saturday or Sunday, keep us in mind and come down and spend some time, learn more about sprint car racing, and do a little shopping for the holidays.
Bob, if they'd like to find out more about the National Sprint Car Hall of Fame and Museum or get a hold of you directly, what's the best way to do that?
Our toll-free number is always open and on, and that's the 1-800-874-4488, or they can go online 24 hours a day at SprintCarHOF.com, and our website has all of our Hall of Fame inductees listed. Of course, it's got our Sprint Car Raffle on there.
Bob, thank you so much for being with us here on The Dirt Show.
Clayton, thank you so much for having us on The Dirt Show. I hope everybody that's out there gets to grab one more race or two this year before the snow starts to fly. And as we were told during the one and only race when people came here from out of state, this is the only race they got to see this year that their racetracks were closed across the country, and they didn't get to see any races except for when they came to Knoxville. So we're thankful we got to have some racing here, and we weren't shut out completely, and we're looking forward to 2021.
Why choose powder coating over liquid paint finishes? Maximum durability. Extreme powder coatings offer a scientific process that uses heat to bake the colorful finish deep into your product. Extreme powder coatings can deliver multimedia blasting, impact-resistant epoxy primers, and super durable powder coat applications to meet your needs. Visit ExtremePowderCoating.net for more information.
Extreme Powder Coating.
Justice Brothers Automotive, Agricultural and Industrial Additives, Lubricants and Cleaners have been in business for over 80 years. Justice Brothers is America's brand for quality manufacturing oil additives, fuel additives, coolant additives, and many more products to keep your vehicles and equipment running smoothly. Decrease downtime and increase machinery reliability and life, which increases your profits. Justice Brothers products are available at your local parts store, fleet stores, and hardware stores. Call us at 1-800-533-7492 or visit our website at www.justicebrothers.com. Proud sponsor of the Dirt Show and many Midwestern race teams over the past 50 years. Ask racers like Bob Hopp, Joe and Jimmy Cuba, Terry McCarl, Greg Dolansky, Kelly Schrock, Travis Sherman, Brooke Tatnell what they think. Performance is proof. Reliability is essential. Go with the winner. Justice Brothers.
Fast Shafts has been producing drive shafts for late models, modifieds, dirt trucks, stock cars, and hobby stocks since 1992. Fast Shafts, the official drive shaft for the U.S. MTS and USRA, and title sponsors for the IMCA Fast Shafts All-Star Race and IMCA Super Nationals, support the sport of circle track racing throughout the USA. To get the power from your motor to the tires, run with a proven winner today with the number one choice in carbon fiber, steel, chrome moly, and aluminum drive shafts. Call Fast Shafts today. Made by racers for racers. 800-622-6617.
Welcome back to our special segment here on The Dirt Show, and I am joined by Josh from Pulver's Towing. And Josh, we were out at Madison Speedway last weekend, and wow, they are going out in the fields out that way. And we're also heading back to Maury County Speedway in Slayton. And I'm sure we'll see a lot of farmers on the roads and in the fields. And we want to talk farm safety right now because we want people to slow down out there so everybody can get home safely.
Yeah, that's correct. There's a lot of equipment moving around. Their equipment is very large. It takes up a lot of room on the roadway. And they're moving 24 hours a day to get their crop out. So you got to look out for it. Just give them room. They're only here for a short time. They'll get their stuff out, and they'll be out of the way.
Josh, you also know that some of this farm equipment hasn't been out of the shed or out of the yard since planting season, and all of a sudden you park your semi or grain truck in the field and find out the batteries are totally dead. You have the capabilities to tow all of this large farm equipment and do some service.
We do. We have batteries on hand, air dryers, air filters, you name it. We pretty much have a lot of stuff on hand. So if you're broke down in the field, we'll come right out there and get you going on your tractor trailers and a lot of stuff on equipment, air lines, hydraulic lines. We can do this 24 hours a day. We're willing to come out and help you wherever you're at.
And if it's something that you need to get back to the shop, you also offer that.
We do. We have the equipment to tow it. We have the trailers. We have about anything you can imagine to help who's ever out there that's in need of help 24 hours a day.
So if you're out in the field listening to The Dirt Show, you should have Pulver's Towing on speed dial. Josh, what is the best way to get a hold of Pulver's Towing during the harvest season?
The best way is our central dispatch at 507-282-3851.
On Monday, October 5th, a brand new 2021 USRA or IMCA stock car chassis goes up for bid. You can log on to cowsfm.com Big Deals website and place your bids through October 15th. The medieval chassis includes black powder coating and a jigged rear end housing. Retail value $5,050 with a starting bid of only $1,999. Place your bid on this medieval chassis Big Deals auction now at cowsfm.com.
Buyers Engine Service of Rochester opened its doors in 1975. Hi, this is Corey. Since 1975, we've been offering complete engine machining services and assembly. From flatheads to big blocks, wide blocks to drag race engines, and street rods to pulling tractors. Plus, Buyers Engine Service offers complete dyno service. So if your race car or street car needs a little under the hood, trust the place who's been there since 1975. Contact Buyers Engine Service at 507-282-5586.
The difference between a Hinchman fire suit and others? The difference is safety. All Hinchman fire suits are made with materials that are permanently fire resistant. That's why Nomex remains the standard. The difference is experience and innovation. Hinchman started the racing suit industry over 80 years ago. The difference is quality, value, and customer service. Your suit is an investment in your safety, and Hinchman Hinchman is committed to giving you the safest and best racing suit, along with friendly personal service. Hinchman, why settle for anything less?
Welcome to the Dirt Track segment, brought to you by Cookies, Sauces, and Seasonings.
Last Friday night, October 2nd, it was a Madtown Showdown two-night show at Madison Speedway in Madison, Minnesota, in the Pierstock A Main. Ron Hawkinson over Cody Hatch. In the Limited Late Model A Main, DJ Tesh over Keith Canold. In the Wasota Hornet feature, Corey Merworth over Adam Vandrestein. In the Wasota Midwest Modified A-Main, the 50C of Cody Lee over Brandon Merworth. In the Modifieds, Shane Sabraski over Don Eichens. In the Street Stock A-Main, Parker Anderson over Brock Stout. And in the Super Stocks, Shane Sabraski over Sean Fernks. Also Friday night, October 2nd, Chateau Speedway started night one of their two-night fall show in the USRA B-Modified A-Main. Zach Davis over Tyler Tesh. In the Modified A-Main, Ryan Wettstein over Jason Cummins. In the Kevco Outlaw Mini-Mod A-Main, Nathan Kilwine over Jerry Larson. In the Hornet feature, Blake Dorweiler over Daniel Knish. In the Wasota Midwest Modified A-Main, Scott Splitstoster over Greg Pfeiffer Jr. In the Pierstock A-Main, Andrew Eichens over Michael Roth. And in the Street Stock feature, Zach Elward over Jason Newkirk. Friday night, October 10th, was also night one of the USRA Nationals at Hamilton County Speedway in Webster City, Iowa. In the Modified A-Main, Rodney Sanders over Lucas Schott. In the Stock Car feature, Mitch Hoofden over Derek Green. In the USRA B-Mod A-Main, Dylan McCowan over Jim Chisholm. In the Hobby Stock feature, Steve Larson over Chris Hoofden. And in the Tuners, Devin Jones over Jade Lang. We were at Madison Speedway for night two of the Madtown Showdown in Madison, Minnesota. In the Pierstock feature, Jordan Ferrix over Ron Hawkinson. In the Limited Late Models, number 30 DJ Tesh flying around the track over Keith Canold. In the Hornets, Daniel Harsted over Brock Claith. In the Midwest Modified A-Main, Matt Baker over Ashley Merworth. In the Modifieds, it was track champion Brian Hobbin over Ryan Gerke. In the Street Stocks, Eric Riley over Ryan Sader. And what a Super Stock A Main it was, the zero of Les Duelman over Shane Sabraski. Saturday night, October 3rd, was night two of the Fall Festival at Chateau Speedway in the USRA B-Modified A-Main. Matthew Brooks over A.J. Hoff. In the Modifieds, Daryl Nelson over Jason Cummins. In the Kevco Outlaw Mini-Mods, Ryan Hensel over Andy Zimmerman. In the Hornets, Josh Winsky over Timothy Gores. In the Midwest Modifieds, Kennedy Swan over Shane Howell. In the Pierstocks, Andrew Eichens over Michael Wick. And in the Street Stock A-Main, making it two nights in a row, Zach Elward over Jesse Stahl. Also Saturday night, October 10th, night two, at Hamilton County Speedway in Webster City, Iowa, in the USRA Modified A-Main, Lucas Schott over Jake Giraldo. In the Stock Cars, Kyle Falk over Mitch Hoofden. In the USRA B-Mods, Chris Jackson over Ty Griffin. In the USRA Hobby Stocks, Dustin Gulbranson over Tyler Schlobaum. And in the Tuners, Brad Stahl over Brian Schoenbaum Jr.
Hi, this is Jim Miskin from Miskin Auto Parts. Check out Miskin.com. You'll see all the parts available in our U-Pullet lot, new arrivals ready to part out. Plus, we can also locate those hard-to-find parts for you. Miskin Auto Parts has been buying junkers and providing parts to our customers since 1972, and we ship out parts daily. Call us today at 507-684-2100 or check us out online at Miskin.com.
If your classic isn't so classic, bring it into Auto Trim Design of Owatonna. We can fix the upholstery, the carpet, replace a sagging headliner, make your old car look new again, make your seats comfortable again. Whether it's a classic car, work truck, boat, or anything else that moves, we can fix the upholstery and make your ride like new. And we work on convertibles. We're located in Owatonna at 3275 Old Highway 14, 1 mile west of Walmart.
Hi, this is Harvey West, and you've been listening to The Dirt Show. See you at the races.